This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Joe Patrick covers the Falcons on a daily basis. Also, we can talk some Atlanta United with him as he covers them as well for 92.9 The Game. But, Joe, I want to start with the Falcons and the introductory press conference for Leonard Floyd. And I said to Mike, is he going to be a difference maker? Look, I had my reservations when the signing first happened. We got word that he was coming here, and I'm like, okay, I get it. Georgia boy coming home. Can he still be productive? But I think my bias at the time, that particular day, had more to do with Judon than it did with Leonard. And I said yesterday, Joe, I got to put that aside and let Leonard Floyd come in here and ball out for us and judge him based on what he's going to do. Is he going to have impact for us?
Yeah, I think he very well could. I mean, I certainly expect him to have, you know, quite a few sacks, and it's been obviously a position that the, you know, Falcons have been needing production for so long. And, you know, I don't think he's going to come out and obviously be some, like, you know, NFL leader or whatever, but if he is able to replicate like a 10 sack, you know, production like he did last year, then I think that's a pretty substantial upgrade for the Falcons. And I kind of really see him as being a guy who is, you know, I think we need to think about him as basically being like an upgrade on a Lorenzo Carter, who has been a starter and, you know, a three-down player, you know, for this team a lot. Obviously, these players at his position come in and out of games quite a bit. But, you know, I think he could be one of those guys who really is an impact player for this team. And I don't think they're done adding to this group. Obviously, in the draft, I think we're all expecting them to dish out some of their top draft capital at that position as well. But I certainly expect him to just offer a little bit more juice to, you know, this edge rushing group, which has, he's just a guy to me, even though he's later in his career, he just kind of has that, you know, he talked about kind of being that smoking gun. He's just kind of like a, you know, he's just got that juice to get to the quarterback, and he's learned over his years in how to do that. And I think that obviously the fact that he's worked with Raheem Morris before, is impactful here. And I think that he comes into a situation where he can really lead a group of young, hungry edge rushers. And I kind of put this to on Andy and Randy last week, but it feels to me, guys, like when we're talking about this Falcons pass rushing unit, when you're in this landscape now where Grady Jarrett is no longer part of the team, I do wonder if that kind of, you know, allows a more kind of like freeing mentality of like, we have to invent ourselves. We have to create our own identity without this guy who's been a tentpole for this organization for so long. And sometimes when you have those situations, it can bring out the best in guys. And I think that Leonard Floyd is going to be, you know, very key for the Falcons. He's obviously, you know, who knows how long he'll be here over the course of his career. Maybe it is just the 1 year, but I think he's going to have a substantial impact in leading this group this year and potentially leading some of these younger guys into, you know, beneficial careers for the Falcons down the line.
And that's the thing, as Joe Patrick joins this guy, Smoking Joe with us on Dukes and Bell, is Rook Aroro. This is your year to really step up. It's year two. You know, some guys, you've seen get into an NFL roster, and they pop, and you know immediately. You know, and we just haven't had to seem to get that with our defensive picks. So that's one guy we didn't get. Now, it's not his fault. He got injured, but Braylon Trice. Right. We know that Ebikadi, it's year four. This is a contract year as a second-round pick. So maybe this year Ebikadi really hits the gas.
I think so. I mean, I think Ebikadi has gotten better every single year. I know that, you know, the start that he got off to in his career was kind of from, I think, maybe a lower floor than people were expecting, especially considering the Falcons traded up in that second round to grab AK. But I really think he's gotten more dangerous. Just, you can just see it, the explosion off the edge, the different moves that he's working in. And I think you also see teams kind of adjusting for that. So I'm expecting him to step up this year. And again, like you mentioned there, Mike, on a contract year, that's really when, you know, he's going to be incredibly motivated to go out there and have the best year of his career. And then the Rook Aroro, I got to say, he is the one player, maybe the player I'm most excited to watch next year, because I got to say, I know that people are down on him because they didn't really... Yeah, exactly. I mean, the reps that he showed last year, I thought he really stood out. It was just you mentioned it, Mike, he got hurt. But he also, you know, the defensive line rotations last year, I thought were not ideal for this group. And he kind of got buried. The Falcons parted ways with their defensive line coach. And I do wonder if, you know, Raheem Morris was not, you know, pleased with the playing time that some of these guys got. And Isaac Rook, if he can stay healthy, I think he is going to be a very impactful player who can move all around along that interior. And again, really kind of create a different dynamic than what this team had with Grady Jarrett manning one of those spots inside.
Joe, what do you think about where this draft is headed? We're a month away. Pro days are going on as we speak. Ohio State had their pro day today. Falcons had a large contingent there. I mean, they're all over the country right now checking out these pro days. Where do you think this goes with what we do specifically with those first two picks? I don't know what we do late, but we only have a limited amount of picks. And my thought is, and I've been saying this, I think we go defense with all three. That's what I think we should do.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I think that, and I think every indication would lead us to that is the way the Falcons are going to go. Obviously, they really don't have that many openings on the offensive side of the football, outside of the center position, obviously. But I just don't know, considering the situation the Falcons are in, if a rookie really makes sense at that position. I think the team is much more likely to, you know, potentially bring in some veteran help at some point along the way, and then just have a competition between guys who have NFL experience. And then maybe you have a Ryan Neuzel who emerges, and maybe you go, you just address that position, the long-term health of that position later down the road. So I agree with you, Carl. I think that this team is going to go defense in the draft. I just think it's a matter of, you know, kind of what flavor they want to go with. It's tough. I've been saying, you know, obviously edge, this entire pre-draft process. And I still kind of lean that way. But every time I look at the player pool, I just see the sheer amount of quality edge rushers that are in this draft. And you see ones that are certainly going to be available in the second round for the Falcons. And if they can get a quality player there, could they then potentially grab, you know, a quality starting nickel that is a starting player in the NFL these days with that first round pick? We're obviously a safety. Malachi Starks has been a hot name, obviously, but when they signed Jordan Fuller, maybe that got tamped down. You know, they could go any number of different ways, guys, but I have to think that they're going to really, really hit this thing hard and obviously add to that edge room at some point in this draft. There's one guy, speaking of the Ohio State contingent, and I'm an Ohio State fan, so I kind of know these guys. It's kind of funny. It's a good pro day to be at, because there are players all up and down the draft. You have quality players that are going to be available in the fifth round and the sixth round that are coming out of that program that they will have seen today at that pro day. But JT Tuimoloau, he measured in with a really impressive nearly 35-inch arms and an 81.5-inch wingspan. That is the kind of length that Raheem Morris has stated that he likes and that Jeff Ulbrich likes. He stated that before Jeff Ulbrich had rejoined the team as the defensive coordinator. So I would say, for anybody trying to project what the Falcons might do in the draft, especially at the defensive line position, really focus on those length numbers, the arm length, the wingspan. They have apparently done a study, and they found that that helps these guys shed blocks at a rate that is correlative. So that, I think, will be a primary filter, basically, for this team when they go to select who's going to be those guys that they line up on the edge.
Smoking Joe Patrick with us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We learned today that the Falcons moved some money around. We already knew about Jake's restructuring, but some Lindstrom and A.J. Terrell. So they've got, after they signed their draft class, about $7 million left. You mentioned Ryan Neusel when Carl talked earlier about your potential. Any more free agent moves? I guess the only other guy I would even remotely consider would be David Andrews, who got cut by the Patriots, who's still out there coming off an injury at center.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, right. And, you know, I am very David Andrews curious as well. The only issue there is he was released apparently with a failed physical designation by the Patriots. So he's obviously going to have to pass that if he can be signed. But I would definitely think, obviously, being a local guy, that the Falcons would definitely be interested in that one. And I think that, guys, usually what we see happen is, you know, we have these waves of free agency. We've already kind of been through one. I think we're kind of into this other one right now where you're getting some kind of secondary pieces. And then usually there's more free agency that happens after the draft. And part of that is because you go into the draft with certain needs. You come out of it maybe having filled some needs and not filled some others. So there's always some filling in the gaps that happens at that point. And I think that that's most likely, you know, when this could take place for the Falcons. And obviously we know they've got other players on their roster that may be waiting until after the draft to move. So I definitely think that there's going to be more moves. You know, the people at the facility, whether it's Terry Fontenot or anybody else, says it all the time. They're constantly trying to improve this roster, even during an NFL season, trying to, you know, improve the talent that's on the practice squad and whatnot. So I think they're going to do, you know, take every measure, do all their due diligence on trying to, you know, fill these holes the best they can.
We're talking with Joe Patrick, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Real quick before we let you go, want to get your thoughts on United. This offense has not looked like we thought it would. What do you think the reasoning is?
Yeah, you know, it really hasn't. And I think that they've actually played okay, but they're just not getting the goals for it. And they've also conceded some really terrible goals that has made the results poor to this point. And it's just all that has, you know, put it in a stew and stir it up, and you've just got a pile of steaming frustration there. So, you know, I think there are some tactical tweaks that the coach, Ronnie Dyla, can make. I actually wrote something about it today that he could potentially, you know, flip the wingers. Miguel Almiron played kind of drifted to the left side when he played as a number 10 for Atlanta United previously, and I think that he could have some joy out there on the left, and you move Salah back into a comfortable position on the right. But ultimately, I don't think that a move is necessarily needs to be made. I think there is enough talent on this roster where it's going to be a matter of time. It's still early in the season, and they certainly have quality talent that can put the ball in the back of the net. So personally, I'm not as worried, I think, as a lot of fans are out there.
Good stuff, Joe. Appreciate you, man, as always, for stopping by. We'll talk soon, my man.